This is Trainer Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Fasig Tipton.
But it was all for Chuck McGee. Super Saver wins the Derby for Todd Pletcher.
The result will give trainer Steve Asmussen career win number 6,000.
It was all have another for Doug O'Neill.
Oxbow and D-Wayne Lucas. Trainer D-Wayne Lucas, a sixth win.
And Al's Rosie is going to give trainer Gary Contessa his 2,000th career win.
And dialed in, never got to them. It was Animal Kingdom for Graham Motion.
Steve Hobby with career victory number 1,000 at Oaklawn.
Now here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another brand new edition of the show Trainers Listen To. This is Trainer Talk, and it's presented by Fasig Tipton right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you, as always, for the next hour. You, of course, are tuned in live throughout North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, or you are listening to our free live streaming or the archived podcast of the show, and of course you're doing that on our HRRN website, which is horseracingradio.net. Well, today's guest really does have a great story, and I'm super excited to bring it to you over the course of the next hour. A former barrel racer who, since 2009, has saddled 194 winners with more than $3.8 million in purse earnings. Her dedication and her perseverance paid off in a big way this past Sunday at Tampa Bay Downs when 3-year-old Indy Lion under jockey Ronnie Allen Jr. crossed the finish line first to win the sophomore turf stakes, giving today's guest her very first career stakes victory. Please join me in welcoming trainer Maria Bowersock to Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. Maria, congratulations and thanks for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, what a moment that had to be on Sunday. Have you come down from that high yet?
No. We're all really excited still. My whole crew in the barn and, you know, the horse is still on, I think, on a little bit of a high, too. And it was very, very exciting. And it was a very emotional race for us because Ronnie was riding and, you know, my first stake win, and I knew the horse had potential to do it. And we were a little nervous running him back in 8 days, but he came out of the race previous that, you know, very good, and he had won. So his confidence was up, and he, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better race.
Take me back to Sunday afternoon and that moment when Indy Lion passes the finish line in front, and you realize, oh, my gosh, this just happened.
Well, I actually didn't think we got it at first. And my assistant, Miranda, she came running down and she's like, I think we got it. I'm like, I don't think so. And then they put the camera on him galloping out. And she's like, there is your sign. You definitely won the race. And, you know, a lot of tears and screaming and carrying on. And my son was here. And, you know, it was a great moment. It was really exciting. So.
Yeah, very, very special. And it's not really fair that they make you sweat it out like that, is it?
Well, it was when they put the camera on, was pretty sure that he, you know, got it. Miranda was where she was standing, she could tell that he got the head bob. So at where I was standing, I couldn't tell. So it was definitely an emotional moment, that's for sure.
Yeah, where did you watch the race?
I usually stand down on the apron, and she was upstairs, so she could see. She was right at the finish line, so she could actually see first. And actually, Ronnie didn't even know. I didn't know this until afterwards, but he wasn't sure. And then he heard me screaming when they were coming back, and he knew that then we had won the race. So it was really, really exciting. And then the horse was just so professional, and he did everything that. Right, and Ronnie slowed the pace down to where, you know, we thought we had a good chance. So it was good. It was a great race.
You said that the horse is probably still on a little bit of a high. Do horses know when they do something good like that?
I think so. Yeah.
Really?
I think so. You know, anytime a horse, you know, wins, and in my experience, they know when they win and they don't win, and you know, and that's his fourth win at the meet. So he's, you know, he's got to know he's doing good, and he gets treated so good. So I think he knows, you know, he knows what's going on. I said the light bulb's got definitely gotten a lot brighter.
What do you do for him? what do you do for him after a big win? Do you give him a few extra peppermints, a couple extra carrots? What's his reward?
His reward, he gets turned out, and we have paddocks here at Tampa Bay Downs, and, you know, he's gotten turned out every morning the last few mornings, and, of course, he got a lot of peppermints that night, and, you know, grazing him and just, you know, keeping him happy. I mean, that's the main thing.
Oh, such a cool moment for Maria Bowersock, who is my special guest here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasic Tipton. That first career stakes win coming this past Sunday with Indy Lion winning the sophomore turf stakes at Tampa Bay Downs. And Maria, you mentioned the fact that Ronnie Allen Jr. was in the saddle. He rides the majority of your horses. He is the ageless one, if you will. He will turn 57 years old on April 24th. He has been a top jockey in our sport for many, many years. But there's much more to that story. Rather than him just being the jockey of this horse, there's much more to that story, too. He's not just any other jockey for you, is he?
No. We've been engaged now. Well, we've been together for 12 years, so... he's the whole reason why I came to Tampa. He was riding here before, of course, for years before I started coming down here. And now I've been coming here for 12 years. So, it was a, you know, we have a good relationship. You know, he does ride the majority of the horses and, you know, we're a good team. We work well together. We don't take our training and jockey life home. You know, we have our separate, you know, our business is different than our home life, and I think that's why it works so well for us.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because so many times I'll talk to a trainer on here that gives a leg up to a jockey that they're somehow associated with, whether it's, you know, going to be a family member someday, or it's a fiance in your case. And I'm just curious if for some reason Ronnie ends up getting one of your horses in trouble during a race and gives a horse a bad ride, which is inevitable. What's the conversation like afterwards, or are you still able to keep that separate when you go home?
We keep it separate when we go home. It's been an agreement with us from the get-go. I mean, I'm not going to say it's been like that every time, but, you know, he's got to have the horse under him, and that's my job. You know, I have to make sure my horses are ready to win and put them in the right spots for him to win on my horses. And, you know, there'll be places where I'll mis-enter or I'll enter in the wrong spot or I don't have a horse to where they're fit enough. And it is a conversation that we have, and that's what makes me successful and him winning races, because we do talk about it. But he's, you know, like I said, he's got to have the horse under him. I don't ever, trust me, I blame the jockey sometimes, but as a trainer, you have to have your horse ready and in the right spot.
So what makes the dynamic work then? Why are you two so successful together, Maria?
Well, he knows the horses. I mean, he comes and gets on them all, a lot, you know, working in the mornings. And we discuss, you know, after the race, like, do we need to drop them a little bit? You know, maybe we shouldn't put them on the front end. Maybe we should come from off the pace. Maybe, you know, it's just, we have a good relationship that way. We can talk about it. It's not that, you know, a lot of jocks and trainers, you know, they don't communicate as good. So me and him, we communicate really, really good. So on the horses to where they need to be to, you know, win the race. You know, you always want to go being the favorite. That doesn't happen all the time, as Indy Lion wasn't the favorite, but, and it works out sometimes, you know, if you're not the favorite and you take a chance like it did with him, and it works out. And I think it helps, you know, me not switching riders a lot, because he does know the horse from previous races.
Yeah, that's a great point. I read an article when I was getting ready for the program, and the article referenced, I think it was when you were a trainer of the month at Tampa Bay Downs a few years ago, and it referenced the fact that you and Ronnie have kind of opposite personalities, and you said that you're the high strung one and he's more easygoing. Is it still that way today?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. He keeps me calm, that's for sure. When I get, you know, upset or anything, you know, in horse racing, when you have this many horses in training, it's never a perfect day. You're just happy to have a good day. And he'll calm me down. He's my, he brings me back down. It's going to be okay.
It's a game, Maria, that we often say has the highest highs and the lowest lows. And it's neat
Absolutely.
To have somebody like Ronnie, like your fiance, to go through this with you. You can experience those lows together and help each other get through them, but you can also enjoy the highs together, like what happened on Sunday. You also helped Ronnie get to a career milestone with his 3,000th win. Tell me more about that story.
That was Ghost Flower. That was exciting, too. That was probably as exciting as the stake. Maybe not as so much, but he couldn't get the win. Like, even at Tampa, we were here before we went to Presque Isle, and I'm like, are you going to win it or what? He's like, I don't know. And it was funny because, you know, when jocks get to that point, even a trainer, it seems like you hit a dry spell when you're getting only one or two away. And I told him a couple of days, I said, I got Ghost Flower, and you're going to win your 3,000 win on her. And he's like, I got to wait two more days. I'm like, yeah. And sure enough, he won it. And it was a great race, a good day, and that filly was a really nice filly. We sold her in the sale, and now she's a mom, and that was a Burkholder horse, and we claimed her for 25, and she went right up the ranks. She was a nice filly for us. We got her stakes placed, and it was exciting, but that's another horse Ronnie rode every race for me on, and he knew her, and I think that's what, you know, finished, got him his 3,000th win. He knew that filly, and he knew how she was going to run. So it's a catch 22 on that. You know, I believe in you can't keep changing around. So, you know, he rides them all good, and he deserved that win, that's for sure. I believe that he deserves every win that he gets. So
I mentioned in my intro of the show today that you are a former barrel racer turned racehorse trainer now, and Ronnie was a big part of that. You already mentioned that he was the reason that you moved down to Tampa. How did the two of you meet?
We met at Presque Isle the first year of my training on my own. I was an assistant trainer for, you know, a few years before I went out on my own, and I met him at Presque Isle, and we met that summer, and then the rest is history. We started coming down here, and we stay together year-round, and we believe that, you know, we stay together no matter what. We don't separate to go to different tracks or anything like that.
Well, and it makes it work, and now you're being rewarded with that first stakes win, no doubt the first of many more to come. I mentioned that you started training on your own, I guess, was it 2009? Was I right about that, Maria?
Yes.
Was it difficult to wait 11 years for that first stakes win?
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, I've had my ups and my downs. I mean, I went, you know, when I first came to Tampa, I had three horses of my own. And, you know, it slowly started building. And I got a really good owner, and we started claiming some horses and was doing really good. I mean, we stakes placed, you know, Ghost Flower and a couple of them, So Kitten, and, you know, it was always a little discouraging when we didn't win, but, you know, a stakes place is stakes place. So you were always happy, you know. And then, you know, I got down on horses again and had to rebuild again. And it's been, you know, training horses and owners, it's a hard business for any trainer. I mean, it really is. I mean, you know, it's a lot of time, a long days, and, you know, everybody works hard. I mean, as far as I can tell, and I think that that's probably why the win was so, you know, much appreciated, that, you know, we finally got it, and hopefully, like you said, many more to come. And I knew the horse is I haven't had this nice of horses in my barn as Indy Lion, so it made it more special, because I usually just have claiming horses.
I love the fact that you mentioned that this profession of training racehorses it can be very difficult, especially if you're not winning at a very high rate. You have to persevere through a lot of things, and mm-hmm. you've done that. What is for people that don't understand, Maria, what a trainer goes through on a daily basis. They just see you, your name in the program, and they see you when you come out to saddle your horse. But what is your typical day like?
Early mornings and late nights. I mean, it's a constant, you're constantly, even when you leave the barn for an afternoon, if you don't have anything racing, you're still working. You're still thinking about the next race. You're still having to enter. You're having to, you know, make sure, you know, the feed, the hay, the sawdust is here and the health's happy. And it's a lot. I mean, you have to really love the sport and your horses and your crew. I mean, I love my crew. They've been very, very good this year, and they deserve a lot of the credit too. They're the first ones in the barn. I mean, they're here at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we don't leave until we're done. And sometimes it's 7:30 at night, and not everybody, but you know, when that groom has a horse in or has two in that day, it's a long day for them. I mean, I sometimes get to go home and be like, oh, okay, let me take a breath. Where, you know, they're here. I have to give the crew and the care that they give the horses. I mean, I oversee it, but they do a very good job. And it's not just my stable. It's everybody that works with racehorses. I mean, it's a 24-hour time. You're constantly thinking about it. For the love of the horses, you're constantly thinking about it, I should say.
I have a segment on my Saturday morning equine forum show that's called Unsung Heroes, and I get the chance to visit with some of the folks in our sport that don't often get the recognition but are vital to the success. And you just mentioned grooms and exercise riders, and I always say it takes a village if you're going to be successful.
Absolutely.
Spend a little time, Maria, recognizing those folks that work with you on your crew. You said you love your crew, you love being around them. Tell me about some of those people and what they mean to your operation and your success.
Well, one of my Gallup boys, he's been with me for 6 years, and that's Pico. And he, he does a phenomenal job. He knows the horses, and he loves the babies. Like when the 2-year-olds come in, we're getting ready to get 2-year-olds in, and he thrives for that. He knows his horses, and that is a main. That's a big deal. That's why I have, of course, salary riders, which you have to when you have this many horses. And they get their same horses every day. And if Pikos gets on one and he's like, oh, he just, you know, didn't gallop as strong as I wanted him to, you know, maybe scope him or whatnot. He knows. He knows the program. He knows how we do it. I mean, like I said, he's been with me for 6 years. And Hector, he gallops. He's been with me for a year. He went to Gulfstream with me this summer. And he's a very good gallop boy too. I mean, he knows his horses. They're two different type of rider, you know, and that's why I pick and choose which one gets what horses. And we have a good system, you know, and I have a couple other guys that come in and get on a few that, you know, they get on the same horses every day and they can tell me, you know, I'm not on the horse, so I can't, as a rider that before, you know, as a barrel racer, I could tell when my horse wasn't primed or peaked, and that's why you keep the same gallop people on the horses so they know what's going on with the horse, and I know because they tell me.
Yeah, and much the same with Ronnie riding a majority of your horses. You reference the fact that he is able to know the horse so well and communicate with you about each individual horse. That has to be huge.
It is. I think it's I'm very blessed to have that asset in my life to make sure that. And my stable, and my owners, and, you know, it benefits everybody, I think, my personal opinion, and it's not for everybody, but I think, the horses definitely have an advantage when you have the same consistency every day. They need that consistency, is what I think.
One aspect that often gets overlooked in racing, I think even sometimes by people in the industry, is what a big win means, not just to you and, of course, to the jockey, Ronnie Allen Jr., but what it means to your crew. How emotional was it for your crew to see Indy Lion get the victory on Sunday?
Well, me and Miranda were definitely in tears. That's my assistant. And Speedy, his groom, he didn't have no tears, but he was all smiles and very, very excited. And I have to give him credit, too. He takes very good care of him and all of his horses that he grooms. And, you know, takes the time. I mean, he gets iced every day, and he's, you know, he's one that stays. You know, he makes sure his horses are taken care of, and they all do. I can honestly say all my help, you know, they're very good. They're very good to me and my horses, so.
Visiting with trainer Maria Bowersock here on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. Maria, let's go back to the beginning. Tell me about where you grew up and being around horses for the first time and you know, your parents and the whole thing. Take me back to the very beginning.
Well, me and my twin sister, of course, you know, we've been riding since we were little. And I was probably on a horse before we could walk. I mean, my mom is a barrel racer, and my dad and my uncle and my grandfather trained at Waterford Park, and then, you know, had horses. And my dad kind of got out of it for a little while, and we just mainly focused on barrel racing and going to fraternities and rodeos, and that's what we did. And then my dad got back into it when I was probably 13 years old, I would have to say. He got a few horses, and, you know, started training again and enjoyed it. He had claiming horses and enjoyed doing it. But he had a construction business too that he ran for years and just retired. And, we mainly did the barrel horses, and we've traveled all over the country. I mean, I can just remember going for weeks at a time to fraternities and rodeos and really enjoyed it. And that's why I love horses so much. I've been around them my whole life. And, now my sister lives in Kansas. They run a huge cattle farm. Well, actually they own it. And, my mom and dad are still in, Wellsville, Ohio, where we grew up. And we have a farm there in Wellsville, Ohio.
So what's the closest track to Wellsville, Ohio?
That's, Mountaineer.
Mountaineer. Okay. All
right. That's in Chester, West Virginia, or Noel, Chester.
Okay. And that's where your Uncle Gary, your cousin Chad, don't they train in that part of the country too?
Yeah. My Uncle Gary still has a couple horses. Chad doesn't anymore. He actually runs a I'm sorry, I can't remember what kind of company. But, yeah, he retired from training.
So what do you remember about the first time that you were ever aboard a horse?
Oh, probably just from pictures, I guess. You know, me and my sister sitting on a big pink pony when I don't even think we might have been a year old. And we just always have rode. We've always had horses and ponies, and my mom and dad always kept us on nice horses, and, you know, being able to go and win at where we were at and what we were doing, it was important. It's just, you know, like me with the racehorses, you want good horses and to be underneath you to be able to win. And it's just like I say with the resources, you got to have the horse to win. So
did you ever think, Maria, as you were growing up, and I know you said you were always around horses and you mentioned the family tree and, you know, it's a horse racing family, or at least a horse family. Did you ever think that maybe you would do something other than being around horses, or was this always it?
This was it. Always horses. I mean, my mom's 68 years old, and she still barrel races, so it's in our blood. We will never – we love it. I mean, we enjoy the horses, and that's what we've always done and have always been around. I mean, I – even if I quit training, I would probably work in the racing office or something just to be around the atmosphere. I mean, I do really enjoy it.
Barrel racing is so cool to watch. I love watching it on TV. I've actually gone to an event here in Kentucky and watched it live. It's a thrill, and it's got to be a high for you when you're out there aboard a barrel horse and you're doing your thing. It's got to be quite a thrill for you. What are some of the highlights from your barrel racing career that you can tell me about?
Oh goodness, this is a long time ago. Well, when we made the, they have a MBHA, we made the finals down there. I did on a horse. Her name was Misty. She was probably one of the best barrel horses I ever had. That was a big thrill. I got interviewed on ESPN. Me and my sister,
really?
Bella's my twin. Probably the most exciting thing, the whole, because my family was so, we were together. It was a, we did it all together. We never separated. We were always my family, my dad, my mom. And we, the support system was a big deal. And that's why we did that. Probably the Quarter Horse Congress wins. I have a few of them that I'm, you know, pretty proud of that, you know, we, I did well at. I'm, you know, a lot of the, just making the finals at a lot of big, you know, events was, is a pretty big highlight, you know, and a big deal. So
what actually was your best ever time?
Joby Jammin was a nice deal too. I won a good bit on him. He was a world champion barrel horse. I mean, he went to the NFR with Martha Josie, and Sue Bologna, and her father raised that horse, and he was a really nice horse.
What was your best ever time? Do you remember?
Oh, no. No, I mean, because the patterns are set so different. Your standard patterns, and then you have, like, smaller pens, and the rodeos always, usually, like, indoor rodeos have smaller patterns, and, like, sometimes it could be a 13-second run, or sometimes it'll be a 17-second run. So, yeah, I couldn't remember that, probably.
All right, so you and your sister are going head-to-head in barrel racing. Who wins?
It depended on what horse we were on. my sister was more, probably more competitive than I was with it. She was, but we went hand-in-hand. I mean, we both were very competitive, but we always cheered each other on. So it was, whoever got the win was, we were happy. So.
Yeah, it's definitely a horse family. Talking with Maria Bowersock, who is my special guest on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. If I'm not mistaken, you also have a world champion saddle bronc rider in your family. Is that right?
Yeah, that's my sister's husband, Sean Prater.
Yep. Yep, so it's horses all around. It even from the folks that joined your family, it's horses everywhere.
Yep. Everywhere. We're always, that's what we've always done. And I mean, my sister met Sean at a rodeo in Michigan. So, you know, I met Ronnie at the track, you know, with horses. So yeah, we've always been involved in horses.
Yeah. Nothing she'd rather be doing right now than being around horses. And she's doing it, and doing it at a high level with that first stakes victory coming this past Sunday at Tampa Bay Downs. Maria, stay with me. I'm going to get to a short commercial break. When we come back, we will talk more, a little more about that win. We've covered it pretty good, but we'll talk more about that win on Sunday. I'm sure that won't break your heart. And we'll talk a little bit more about your background and some of the other top horses that you've had the chance to be around. We'll do that next. This is Trainer Talk, and it's all presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Fasig Tipton selected yearling sales are back in business. Nominate your yearlings today to these industry-leading sales. The July sale, to be held July 13th and 14th in Lexington, Kentucky, will feature the return of the Freshman Sire Showcase. The 100th Saratoga sale will take place August 9th and 10th, and the New York Bred Yearling sale will be held August 15th and 16th in Saratoga. Selected sales, superior results. Nominate now at FasigTipton.com. Make Woodbine the place to train and race your thoroughbred in 2021. Take advantage of competitive purse structures with huge bonuses for Ontario breds and a Woodbine backstretch equipped with a 1 mile dirt training track, a 7 furlong turf training track, a 2 furlong sand ring, and a 1/2 mile European jogging path. Racing surfaces include a 1 mile all weather Tapeta main track, a 7 furlong inner turf course, and the 1.5 mile EP Taylor turf course. Opening day is April 17th. Follow us at Woodbine TB on social media and reach out to our team at woodbine.com.
This is Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They approach the quarter mile pole. Indy Lion, and now Allen gets busy with the pace setter. Chess's Dream draws alongside, now to challenge, racing along second. Hot Blooded swings to the outside, now to be third. Light us up.
is toward the rail fourth. It's still wide open. Indy Lion coming up with a huge effort. Just his dream. Here's Osprey on the outside. Down to the wire. Indy Lion up on the outside. A late run by officiating. Indy Lion is still there. Locally based Indy Lion and surging late on the outside. Officiating very, very tight. A three-horse photo to determine the winner.
Welcome back to Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on this Wednesday afternoon, visiting with trainer Maria Bowersock, who was thrilled with the results of that photo finish on Sunday at Tampa Bay Downs when Indy Lion gave her her very first career stakes win. Richard Grunder had the call. It was a thrilling finish, and she knew when she saw the gallop out camera and the shot of Indy Lion that she had won it, and what a moment it was. She talked about that in the first half of the program. If you missed any portion of the show, all you have to do is head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast of this program and all of our Trainer Talk shows. They're there for you to listen to at your leisure, horseracingradio.net. And don't forget, too, you can follow us on social media for all the latest updates from HRN. That's at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook and on Instagram. Maria, how many times have you watched the replay of that race since Sunday?
Probably 200. All the time. I can't get over Richard's call and the emotion. And yeah, we've watched it a lot. I mean, we've watched it probably not 200, but maybe pretty close.
It was almost as if Richard was as emotional about that result as you and your team were.
He probably was. He's been a longtime friend, and Ronnie knew him back from his Canterbury days, and he gives a lot of shout outs to us, and he's a very good friend of ours. So I think it probably was, and even the racing office, I think they were emotional too. I mean, Jerry and the stakes coordinator here, he's the one that actually talked me into going in the race. He called me. He's like, Maria, I think you could have a shot in here. And I said, Jerry, it's going to be back in 8 days. I don't think, you know, I should do it. And I called the owner, and me and the owner talked. And, you know, I said, if he's not good going into the race, well, we can scratch at stake. And, you know, I think everybody was. Jen in the office, she was really, you know, excited. Everybody was, you know, really, really happy. It was good. And, you know, being from Tampa and being Tampa-based, I think that's a lot of emotion, too.
Tell me more about that relationship that you have with not just the owners of Indy Lion, but with all of your owners.
I have a really good group of owners. Jerry Campbell, he's been a good part of my success. Of course, he owns Indy Lion, and we have Castle King that stakes place now, and you know, he was our big, you know, money earner this summer at Gulfstream on the turf. And I've known him for a long time. He actually owned horses, and my father-in-law trained for him, Ronnie Allen Sr. And so we've had a relationship, and he decided to get back in the business. And he had horses at Gulfstream a couple years ago with another trainer, and then he switched over to me. And now we've been together for over a year and a half now. So, you know, it was a huge impact on my business. And then I have Janice Maitland that I've had horses for her for a long time. I can't even remember. And we had Indy Charm, Jay's Indian Charm, and she was a really nice filly. We won a lot of races with her. And then I have Martin Goodell, and we, you know, we always have nice babies that come up. I mean, and he's a good owner. They're all happy. You know, they seem like they enjoy the game. Goodell breeds a lot of his own. So, it's always special when his horses win because they've, you know, been bred and raised by him. So, you know, and Ralph Whitney, I have a couple horses for him. I've had horses for him for 3 or 4 years. So, they're long-standing owners that I really enjoy having horses for because they love the game. They love horse racing, and they want what's best for their horses. And that's very important to me.
You know, we talked about your family and the fact that you've always been around horses, and your family is a horse family on so many levels, and your mom's still riding barrel races, and you know your dad, a former trainer, all of those types of things. And it sounds to me, Maria, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me like you've taken that family approach and you've brought that now to your training operation, and the owners that are part of your team, your fiance, Ronnie Allen Jr., of course, part of the family, but it sounds like everybody that's associated with you, your crew, it's really a family as opposed to a boss-employee type of relationship. Is that right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. They're all important to me. Every employee that I have, and I think that's why they work so hard for me, because I'm not just their boss, and I'm not just, you know, and like I said, training is very stressful. Don't get me wrong. You get upset, and you can, you know, might yell or care, you know, be mad at some point, but you have to realize they are giving their lives to take care of your horses. So then you need to respect them as much as they respect your horses and respect me. I mean, I have to say that, you know, they're a good group of people, and they work hard for me, and it's, the feeling's mutual. We all try and work together and get along, and we do for the most part.
Yeah, and so important to have that support group too, because we talked earlier, there are highs and there are lows, and there are lows personally too. And Ronnie, it's no secret, he has had issues in the past. Early in his career, he battled alcoholism. He got sober in 2007 and was sober until 2019 when he had a relapse after his 12 years of sobriety. Look, alcoholism is a disease, and it's devastating not just to the person battling it, but to their family as well. Tell me about the challenges, Maria, that you both faced during that very difficult time.
It was challenging. It was, of course, harder on him because, you know, the 12 years of sobriety. And then, I'm sorry, I think it was just more, he was disappointed in himself because he let himself not be able to handle it anymore. And you know, he does all the meetings and the Al-Anon meetings and stuff, and he's doing really, really good, and I can't be more proud of him. I know, you know, like you said, it's a disease, and when that disease attacks your body, you can't fight it. It's like anything with drugs, alcohol, and you have to have the tools to be able to fight it, and he does it. He knows what to do. He just has to do it, and he's doing a really good job. You know, the question is, you know, he's getting to the end of his riding career, which I don't believe so, but I mean, because I'm his number one fan, but, you know, I think maybe that's maybe why it kind of he relaxed a little bit. I'm just stressing about retiring, and I always tell him, I'm like, look, you're still riding good, doing good, and until you feel like you don't want to ride anymore, then, you know, you retire. And I think that had some, you know, some stress, you know, on it. I mean, jockeys have as much stress as trainers. I mean, they got to go out there every day and risk their lives and, you know, make a paycheck, get the wins. And, you know, Ronnie's always been a top rider. And I think, you know, just a little bit of the stress, I think about retirement and getting a little older and stuff. I think he was just, you know, he was at his little bit of a breaking point. But like I said, he's doing really well now, and I'm so proud of him. I can't even tell you how much. And he keeps us all together. he keeps us, you know, my son and I, and, you know, we have a good life, and he keeps us together.
Yeah, you know, he's not the only person ever to battle alcoholism, and he's certainly not the only jockey ever to go through this. And so many times
right.
We see people that go through something like this, and then they conquer it, as he has, and they serve as an inspiration to others. Does Ronnie look at himself in that way, Maria, that he can be an inspiration to other riders who have battled maybe not even alcoholism, but other issues as well?
He definitely is. Yeah, definitely. I mean, he'll sit and talk to anybody that needs to talk about it. He will sit and talk to them. Jockeys, you know, I had a guy that was working in my barn that was an alcoholic, you know, and I didn't know it. And he sat down and talked to him, and the guy's been sober now for 3 years. So, I mean, he doesn't work for me anymore, but, you know, it helped him. He probably saved that man's life because he talked to him about alcoholism, you know, and nobody's perfect. Everybody has their flaws. Everybody, you know, has their problems. And you know, and I believe, you know, Ronnie has helped a lot of people through it. And that was probably a lot of his disappointment of starting to drink again, because he was such a inspiration to a lot of people of how he quit drinking and how he was sober for so long. So, you know,
and he still is. It's
hard. You know, I can't really speak for him, but I think that's probably what a lot of it was.
Yeah, he still is. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get back up, and he continues to do it, and he continues to be strong in the face of adversity like that. And, again, to have somebody like you by his side, to be going through this together, just like you do day in and day out with training the racehorses, is pretty cool. And, you know, bigger things and better days ahead for sure, and more stakes wins, I'm sure, in your future, as we talked about earlier. You know, there were quotes, Maria, that I read when I was getting ready for the show. You talked about your parents and the strong work ethic that they instilled in you and your sister and your family, and that's certainly serving you well now. The other thing you talked about was that you never stop learning. And one of the quotes I read, you said, if you stop learning, you don't need to do this anymore. So what are some of the things, 11 years into your training career now, or 12 years, I guess it is, that you're still learning?
Every horse is different. You cannot train every horse the same. They're not, you know, they're not a machine. You've got to, every day, you know, you watch a horse jogging on the track, just jog that horse today, don't gallop it. Or, you know, a horse didn't eat right, you know, don't train it that day, I walk it. You know, every trainer does everything differently. My thing is I let my horses tell me, and they don't all train the same. And that's one big thing that I've learned. And, you know, distances and stuff and training, you know, how far you want this horse to work, or how, you know, to breeze, or even galloping. You might gallop 1-2 miles, or you might only gallop a mile or a mile and a half. You know, I truly believe every horse is different.
Yeah, that seems to be the recurring theme when I ask trainers what the key to being a good horse trainer is. So many of them will say treating each horse as an individual. And it sounds like it's so simple, but it's so important.
It's very important. Very.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Talking with Maria Bowersock, my special guest here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Maria, I have to ask you about this other picture I found when I was getting ready for the program. It was from 2018. I believe it was on Twitter, and it was a picture of an alligator in your stall at Tampa Bay Downs. Do you remember that day?
Actually, we had just moved out, and we had went north, and my vet sent come in the barn. Actually, the people on the backside of me were still here, and she sent me the picture of the alligator, and it literally moved in within, we weren't even unpacked in Prescott. We were in Erie, Pennsylvania at the time. And I don't even think the horses had arrived yet, and the alligator was in the stall. I almost had a heart attack. But yeah, that's a true story.
Well, I can't even imagine. I know they say that there's an alligator in every body of water in Florida, right? Isn't that how the saying goes? But I can't imagine seeing one in your stall.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad we were gone. I mean, I would have definitely had a total meltdown over that.
Oh, what a story. Outside of your family, Maria, who are some of the other people who have had the biggest influence on you and your training career?
Well, I was an assistant trainer for Dwayne Knipe and Nadine for 2 years, and they were a big influence. Dwayne, he trained here for years at Tampa, and they came up to Mountaineer, and I was an assistant for them for a couple years, and they taught me a lot, you know, on the appreciation of the horse and, you know, on different aspects. I mean, I was bull racing, and I'm not saying, you know, barrel racing is easier than training a thoroughbred, but, you know, it's a lot of care. And they taught me a lot about, you know, care and therapy. You know, Nadine was big on lasering and stuff like that with the horses, and massage and chiropractic. And I think that has carried a lot of on how to take care of my horses. I mean, they taught me a lot.
Was it difficult to make that decision to walk away from barrel racing and start focusing on training horses?
I think I was at a point in my life where I needed to decide what I needed to do. And, you know, I had a young son, my son's 16 now, and I had to decide whether I was going to be an assistant or go out on my own. And I knew if I went out on my own to train racehorses that I had to pick one or the other. And I have to say, I hope I picked right. And I, it was a time, you know, in my life that I needed to decide what I was going to do. So I was, you know, happy that I did it, and I'm still happy that I did it. And I'm not saying I'll never barrel race again, but at this point in my career with training horses, you know, thoroughbreds, then this is too time consuming to even think about, you know, going to a barrel race.
You said your son was with you for that big win on Sunday with Indy Lion. Is he at all interested in getting involved in horse racing?
Oh, yes. He loves it. He is obsessed with it. He likes, you know, looking at the horses in the sales. And, you know, we'll be going to the OBS sale here. And he looks – I let him pick which ones, and we both go over them. And he loves – you know, handicapping the races and looking at the races, and he really does enjoy it. He knows, you know, what horses are what and who's this one and that one. And I told him he had to go to a trade school first, and then if he wanted to train horses, he could. But he does really enjoy it. And he's a lot of fun to have around because he does know so much about it already.
What do you think his niche might end up being? Will he be a bloodstock agent? Will he find himself training horses like his mother? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I'll let him decide, of course. I mean, that's, you know, he's 16 now. So he does really enjoy the sales. I mean, I have to say that he likes watching them and, you know, looking at the horses and stuff. So he might go that route, you know, a bloodstock agent. But I really can't say one way or the other right now.
Is he a pretty good handicapper?
Yeah, he does pretty good. He does pretty good.
Did he have any money on Indy Lion?
No. No, none of us bet. I know my owner did. I know Jerry Campbell, he bet, I'm sure. But no, none of us, no. I think his groom bet, Speedy did, but we didn't. I don't bet because I think it jinxes them, so I don't bet on the horses.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I've had plenty of trainers on this show that won't bet on their horses at all. They won't bet at any race that their horse is in, obviously, but they won't bet on their horses because they do feel it's either a jinx or, you know, they just have enough other things to worry about besides trying to make a couple of bucks at the windows.
That's how I am. I don't know, and how many starts I've had, I've probably only bet on one horse ever. I just don't do it. I've always had that rule of thumb that I don't bet on them, and I just never have.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. Maria Bowersock with me on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. If you are just tuning into the show, you missed the fact that she recorded her very first career stakes victory this past Sunday at Tampa Bay Downs. It was emotional. She talked about it in the first half of the program. Maria, Indy Lion is always going to have a special place in your heart, but who are some of the other horses that when you think back on your career, whether it be training or even barrel racing maybe, that the horses that you're always going to remember?
Divine Ambition. He's been a big part of my life. I mean, when I was at my low of lows and only had two horses, I claimed him for $5,000. And now I've won 16 races with him, and he's over 300,000. He won his 20th win a start ago. He ran second his last start on Sunday, or Sunday prior, I should say. He's been a big part of my training. He's, you know, He's got me the wins when I needed them. He kept me going. He's 11 years old now, and he still loves to run. I mean, he loves to train. He loves to run, and he will always be the most important horse for me in my life because he kept me going at my low of lows. So he gets the first stall in the barn every place we go, and he's my guy. You know, he never lets me down, that's for sure. Ghost yes. Flower is really important. Like you said, she got Ronnie's 3,000th win. She'll be an important one always for us. And she's hanging on our wall because of the 3,000th win, and was a big deal. You know, we won a good bit of races. Susie Stepping Out was a nice filly that I had. She actually just got claimed. Jay's Indian Charm, she was a runner. She got claimed at Gulfstream, and now I think she's going to be a broodmare. So it's, you know, there's a lot of horses that I've trained that, you know, won a lot of races, and, you know, that we started from two-year-olds and, you know, won 7 to 10 races with them. So, you know, they'll all be important to me for sure.
You mentioned Ghost Flower and the picture of Ghost Flower, which is always going to be special to you. How many pictures would I see that include Divine Ambition if I walk into your house or to your barn?
Probably 10 at least. He's all over the house. I mean, he's at least 10, I would have to say.
What makes him, you said he's 11 years old, he's still competing at a high level, he's already won here in 2021, he has 20 lifetime victories, he's earned more than $337,000. What makes Divine Ambition such a good racehorse?
His determination. I mean, if you watch any of his races, he is determined, he's going to get it done, and if he doesn't win, he's mad. So he knows how to get to the winner's circle, and as 20 wins, I mean, that's a lot, and especially for racing, and, you know, he's always been sound and happy, and I think that's the main thing with him. You know, I keep him happy. You know, we let him go to the round pen, we let him jog, we let him, you know, graze for an hour a day, and he's spoiled rotten, but I think that's what makes him want to run still, and, you know, he wants to please us. He always, you know, he's always happy, and which is good. You know, that's what you got to do. You got to keep him happy.
And I can imagine when you have a veteran horse like this that you're just trying to keep happy. You want to keep all your horses happy, but the approach in training a horse like Divine Ambition as opposed to, say, a young two-year-old or an early three-year-old that you have in your barn is completely different, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my theory is, you know, older horses don't have to train as hard. They're fit. They've been running for so long. They don't need that conditioning or, say, I don't want to use the wrong word, but like as a two-year-old, you kind of need to go on with them, you know, if they're going to buck shins or it's, you know, their knees aren't closed, then you have to back off and you know, like I said, every horse is different. Divine definitely doesn't have to train hard because he's fit. He's race fit. He's ready to go. When you bring a two-year-old or a young three-year-old in, they're not race fit. They've never raced before. So you have to train them harder to get them ready to run.
Yeah, it's a whole different approach.
It definitely is.
Yeah, and I can imagine that's something that you talked about learning. That's something you've learned over the years. What advice, Maria, do you give to or would you give to a young trainer that comes to you and says, hey, I'm really thinking about getting into this profession. What would you tell me? So what would you say to them?
Never stop learning. You've got to learn. You've got to know what you're doing. You have to be on top of your game every day. There's, you know, things you have to do every day. You can't come in late. You've got to be on time. They need fed. They're like kids. It's, you know, I said the other day, it's like I have 32 kids here because, you know, they depend on us to take care of them.
Yeah, but I can also imagine, too, and I love the way you put that. They're like your kids. And you're mm-hmm. kind of like a coach teaching players, right, I guess if you want to look at it like that. How cool is it when you see one of your kids do well?
Oh, it's very exciting. I said, they said they needed a video on me the other day when I was screaming for Indy Lions. So it's an adrenaline rush. I mean, it's just like, you know, watching your kid play a football game or a basketball game or, you know, swimming or whatever. It's exciting. You want them to excel and do really good, and you know, you're proud of them.
What does the future look like in your mind anyway, Maria, for you and for your team and the entire operation?
Well, definitely hopefully keep winning races. I mean, we've had a great winter here at Tampa, and our plan is right now to go back north this year. I really need to see my family, and I've always went north. Last year we went to Gulfstream. I'm not saying it's set in stone yet for what we're doing for our plans, but we've got to make a decision real quick on it. And just I hope, you know, we keep getting nice two-year-olds and, you know, keep owners happy and move forward. I mean, of course, every trainer's dream is to have a Kentucky Derby winner, and that would be great. But if I can keep competing at the level that we are with the horses, I'm happy. I mean, I want, you know, happy horses and happy crew. And, you know, when you get horses like that, you know, Kentucky Derby horses and or maybe a maybe Kentucky Derby, that's a lot of stress. And the game's stressful a lot anyways. So it is what it is. And I hope to someday maybe get to that level, of course. But you never know. You got to have the horses and you got to have, you know, the owners and the crew, and you know, everybody has to work together and stick together.
Yeah, very well said. And your enthusiasm and your passion for the horse first and foremost really comes through when you talk to you, Maria, and it has for the entire hour here this afternoon. We're just about out of time. I've got about 60 seconds left, but want to thank you for being with me here and telling your story. And again, congratulations on that huge stakes win. I know you're going to have many more in your future. And you and Ronnie make a wonderful team, and it's a great family operation. And can't thank you enough for spending a little time and telling your story.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right, that's Maria Bowersock, my special guest here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasic Tipton. If you did miss any of the show, she was fantastic. Her story is so good. Head back to the website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast. You can do that at your leisure. You can listen to all of our Trainer Talk shows, horseracingradio.net, and of course, Horse Racing Radio Network on Apple Podcasts. Back next week with another new edition of Trainer Talk presented by Fasic Tipton. For now, my thanks to Maria Bowersock. My thanks to my producer, Lee Delapina, in our Lexington studio. I'm Mike Penna. Thanks to you for listening, too. We'll talk to you next week on Trainer Talk presented by Fasic Tipton.